Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we explore The Leader's Guide to Unconscious Bias by Pamela Fuller, Mark Murphy, and Anne Chow. Published in 2020, this illuminating guide offers valuable insights into identifying and mitigating unconscious bias within the workplace. Tailored specifically for leaders and managers, this book emphasizes the importance of safeguarding team members' careers from the detrimental effects of unnoticed prejudices. Pamela Fuller, serving as the chief thought leader on inclusion and bias at Franklin Covey, brings her experience from her times as a diversity analyst at the U.S. Department of Defense. Co-authors Mark Murphy, a senior consultant at Franklin Covey, and Anne Chow, CEO of AT&T Business and the first woman of color to hold this position in the company's history, add depth and diverse perspectives to the discussions. This book is a must-read not only for workplace leaders who aspire to nurture a fair and inclusive environment, but also for workers who wish to understand how unconscious biases might affect them. Moreover, anyone eager to expand their knowledge on bias will find this guide tremendously educational. Join us as we delve into the strategies and insights offered in The Leader's Guide to Unconscious Bias, a compelling read that equips professionals with the knowledge to foster fairness and equity in the workplace. The Leader's Guide to Unconscious Bias: How to Reframe Bias, Cultivate Connection, and Create High-Performing Teams. Introduction. Uncover and overcome unconscious bias for better leadership. Imagine a workplace where your chances of promotion could hinge not just on your performance and skills, but also on factors as arbitrary as your height or the inflection in your voice. This isn't just a hypothetical scenario. It's a reality in many organizations across the globe, subtly shaped by unconscious biases. These are the deep-seated, often undetected preferences that each of us carries, influencing our judgments about others, usually without our knowledge. When such biases linger unacknowledged within leaders, they can gravely distort their decision-making, impacting everything from recruitment to promotions and mentoring opportunities. Unconscious biases aren't just fleeting thoughts. They're silent architects of inequality, erecting barriers that many remain oblivious to. The Leader's Guide to Unconscious Bias delves into these pervasive inclinations, offering leaders a crucial look into how these biases can manifest and affect their teams. The central thesis here is not just to acknowledge the existence of these biases, that's the easy part, but to initiate meaningful steps towards mitigating their impact. For any leader, understanding that biases extend beyond conscious prejudices, such as stereotyping introverts as poor leaders, is key. Rather, they often operate subliminally, informing decisions without ever surfacing in one's active thoughts. For instance, studies have shown troubling trends like people with pronounced accents facing pay penalties, or a disproportionate representation of tall individuals in CEO positions. These trends underscore the silent yet significant role of unconscious biases in sculpting workplace dynamics today. This book doesn't just expose the problem, it arms leaders with strategies to challenge their perceptions. It encourages a reflective journey where leaders are urged to scrutinize their automatic thoughts and question their origins. Is it genuinely a matter of skill and potential, or is a hidden bias at play? Further, it lays out practical steps for fostering inclusivity. This starts with connecting deeply with one's team, thereby reducing the room for biases to seep into judgments. Active and empathetic engagement with a diverse range of individuals not only enriches a leader's perspective, but also builds a supportive environment where biases have less room to thrive. Additionally, the narrative prompts leaders to become proactive in spotting and addressing biases, not just within themselves, but also amongst their teams. Implementing structured fairness-first procedures in hiring and reviews can counterbalance subjective biases and push towards more equitable decision-making. To encapsulate, The Leader's Guide to Unconscious Bias serves as a compelling call to action for all leaders. It underscores the necessity of moving past mere recognition of biases to actively dismantling them within their spheres of influence. Engage with this guide and embark on the essential shift from unconscious bias to conscious inclusion, creating a workplace that truly values merit and diversity. Part 1. Trace the roots of your biases to foster personal growth. Let's take a moment to explore something incredibly personal, your identity and how it shapes the way you see the world around you. This reflective journey can be quite revealing, so you might want to pause and reflect deeply at points. If you have a pen and paper handy, that's even better for this introspective exercise. Begin with a simple yet profound exercise. Ask yourself, who am I? Try to define yourself with several I am statements. These could range from your ethnic background, gender, or interest, like I am Asian, I am a woman, or I am passionate about painting. Jot down about 5 to 10 statements, whatever springs to mind first. With your list ready, shift your focus to understanding potential biases each of these identities could foster. For instance, if you noted, I am a vegan, consider whether this leads you to have positive or negative biases towards non-vegans. Mark these identities with an X to denote personal bias. Next, turn the table. Consider how these elements of your identity might invite biases from others towards you. Perhaps being a young entrepreneur has made you face skepticism. Place an O beside these traits. Revisit your list and reflect on the intersections, characteristics marked with both X and O. These are crucial points, revealing areas where biases can deeply impact both how you perceive others and how they perceive you. Now, let's dig a bit deeper. For each identity marked with an X, try to unearth the root of this bias. Is it woven into your upbringing, influenced by societal norms, shaped by media representations, or connected to a specific personal experience? Understanding the origins is key. They are what we might call the origin stories of your biases. Recognizing that our biases are intricately linked with our personal histories and societal interactions is a vital step towards self-awareness. It's about connecting the dots between who we are, the perspectives we hold, and how these perspectives color our interactions and decisions. By unpacking these origin stories, as demonstrated by one of the authors, Pamela, you can begin to see beyond surface-level attributes. Pamela, for example, learned to challenge her initial preference for hiring candidates from prestigious educational institutions, recognizing that her bias was rooted in her family's high regard for formal education. This exercise is not about erasing parts of who you are, but rather about broadening your understanding of how various elements of your identity shape your worldview. By doing so, you can make more conscious choices, reducing the influence of unconscious biases on your behavior and decisions. Engage with this process, and you'll open doors to a more inclusive and self-aware approach to all your interactions, personal and professional alike. Part 2. Understanding the framework to address unconscious bias. Let's dive into the structured approach for managing unconscious biases as outlined by the experts at Franklin Covey, where two of the book's authors are affiliated. This framework is pivotal as it provides a clear, actionable pathway towards recognizing and countering biases in both personal and professional realms. Franklin Covey has devised a 4-step model that serves as the backbone for tackling unconscious bias effectively. Starting with the initial step of identifying bias, it progresses towards cultivating connections, choosing courage, and finally, integrating these practices into the entire talent life cycle, essentially, across an individual's career trajectory. Each of these steps will be dissected in detail in the upcoming chapters, allowing for a deeper understanding and practical application. By engaging with the earlier exercises, you've initiated the first crucial step, identifying your biases. This involves acknowledging not only the biases you harbor, but also those that might be directed towards you by others. However, the journey doesn't stop at recognition. Now, let's consider how biases may manifest, especially in high-pressure environments such as the workplace. When under stress or time constraints, people tend to default to certain types of biases. For instance, confirmation bias leads us to favor information that reaffirms our existing beliefs, neglecting contradictory evidence. This is closely related to anchoring bias, where the first piece of information we encounter disproportionately shapes our thinking, preventing us from fully considering additional data. Another common workplace bias is the attribution bias. Here's a scenario. If you commit an error but had good intentions, you might excuse yourself thinking the intention matters most. However, if a colleague makes a similar mistake, you might judge them harshly based on the outcome rather than their intent. This discrepancy in judgment can lead to unfair assessments and strained relationships. Furthermore, in-group bias is the inclination to favor individuals who share similar characteristics or backgrounds with us. This can often be seen in team selection processes, where leaders might prefer candidates who resonate with their own values and experiences, potentially overlooking diverse talents that could bring new perspectives. Each of these biases, from confirmation to in-group, can amplify the personal biases identified in your initial self-assessment. Understanding when and how these biases most frequently surface can help in devising strategies to mitigate them, ultimately leading to more balanced and fair decision-making. Going forward, integrating this awareness and these strategies across all stages of one's career, from recruitment to leadership, ensures a comprehensive approach to managing unconscious bias, fostering a more inclusive and equitable professional environment. Part 3, Building Bridges: How Cultivating Connections Can Mitigate Unconscious Bias. Having delved into recognizing your own biases, the natural progression is to explore viable strategies to prevent these biases from negatively impacting your professional interactions and decisions. The second phase of Franklin Covey's 4-step model to combat unconscious bias is aptly termed cultivate connection. This step is pivotal as it focuses on how establishing deeper relationships can profoundly counteract the influence of bias. Take Pamela's anecdote as an instructive scenario. She interviewed 2 job candidates with distinctly different personal interactions, which inadvertently colored her impressions of them. The first candidate, who Pamela overheard discussing math homework, quickly established a personal connection due to their shared experiences as parents. This familiarity allowed Pamela to extend empathy during the candidate's initial nervous moments in the interview, ultimately leading to the candidate performing competently. Conversely, her interaction with the second candidate was shaped by a preconceived judgment triggered by his expensive watch, which Pamela associated negatively given the job level. When he later faltered in his responses, instead of offering reassurance like with the first candidate, she viewed his stumble as confirmation of his unpreparedness. Reflecting on these interviews, it's clear that Pamela's predisposed biases influenced her perceptions significantly. Without concrete evidence, it's challenging to fairly determine who the better candidate was, illustrating how biases can cloud judgment. To truly transcend such biases, it's crucial to engage actively with individuals beyond the surface. This practice is rooted in cultivating curiosity and empathy, essential skills for any leader or coworker. Had Pamela approached the second candidate's interview with genuine curiosity, perhaps seeking understanding or common ground regarding his watch or any other aspect, the outcome might have reflected a fairer evaluation of his qualifications and potential. Furthermore, fostering connections isn't limited to overcoming initial biases. It also involves creating systems within the organization to support these connections. This includes facilitating opportunities like mentorship and coaching, ensuring that all team members, regardless of background or status, feel valued and supported. Such initiatives not only enhance individual growth but also bolster team dynamics and organizational culture. In essence, cultivating connections is about more than just mitigating biases. It's about enriching both personal and professional relationships. It encourages a culture where diverse perspectives are not just acknowledged but integrated, leading to richer, more inclusive environments. Moving forward with this approach not only helps in individual bias management, but also elevates the collective ethos of any team or organization. Part 4. Embrace bravery, choosing courage to confront and counteract biases. After identifying biases and learning strategies to reduce their impact through connection, the next progressive step in our journey to tackle unconscious bias involves a pivotal action, choosing courage. This third phase is essential for directly addressing and mitigating the adverse effects biases can trigger in the workplace. Courage, in the context of combating bias, manifests in two primary forms. First, it involves the self-awareness and bravery to recognize and admit your own biases. This might seem straightforward, but it requires introspection, especially in emotionally charged situations. For example, during a tense office debate, it takes courage to step back and critically assess whether your responses are influenced by rational thinking or if they are reactions stemming from unchecked biases. This reflective pause to question your thoughts and feelings is a courageous act that fosters personal growth and fair decision-making. Conversely, courage also plays a crucial role when you find yourself on the receiving end of bias. Consider a scenario where you, an adept and tech-savvy senior, are overlooked for a project to develop a new app, with the opportunity given to a younger colleague instead. This instance of ageism, where assumptions about capability are made solely based on age, highlights the need for courage not just to endure such bias but to actively address it. In such situations, finding strength in community can be immensely helpful. Connecting with colleagues who might share similar experiences or understand the challenges associated with such biases can provide a necessary support network. These connections are not just for solidarity but also serve as a foundation for creating strategies to combat biases collectively. These groups and networks often evolve into powerful platforms within organizations, promoting an inclusive culture and fostering resilience among members. Moreover, the importance of self-care cannot be overstressed when dealing with the repercussions of bias. Whether it's taking a moment for a calming walk or planning a rejuvenating weekend activity, recognizing and fulfilling your personal well-being needs is crucial. It prepares you to handle situations more effectively and maintain your professional integrity and personal health. When considering a response to bias, especially one that directly affects you, strategy and timing are key. It's vital to think through what you aim to achieve by addressing the bias and plan your approach accordingly. This includes deciding on the right time and setting to bring up your concerns, ensuring that the dialogue is constructive and likely to lead to positive change. Thus, choosing courage is not merely about confronting biases boldly. It involves a thoughtful blend of acknowledgement, strategic action, self-care, and community engagement. As we will explore further, speaking out against bias is not just beneficial, but often necessary to foster a truly equitable work environment. Part 5. Step up as an ally. The courage to advocate for others. Beyond addressing your personal biases and their impacts, an essential aspect of fostering an inclusive environment involves stepping up for others. This takes us into the realm of allyship, a powerful form of support where you employ your position or privilege to advocate for those who may be overlooked or marginalized. Everyone possesses some form of privilege. It may be rooted in your race, gender, educational background, or your position within your organization. These privileges don't just offer personal advantages, they also provide opportunities to effect change and promote equity. For instance, consider a scenario in a governmental organization planning a project aimed at benefiting an underserved urban area. Suppose your superiors suggest assigning the project to Keisha, the only Black staff member, supposedly because she would fit right in, despite her expressed interest in different policy areas. This situation presents a clear instance of bias, possibly based on racial stereotypes. Acting as an ally in such circumstances means recognizing the bias and addressing it, even when it's uncomfortable or challenging. It involves speaking out against the discriminatory assumptions and ensuring that decisions such as team assignments are made fairly, based on genuine interest and competence, not on superficial characteristics like race. Moreover, allyship extends beyond confronting biases. It's about creating a supportive network within the workplace. If Keisha learns about the biased suggestion, it's crucial to reassure her that she is valued for her skills and that she has allies within the organization who will stand up for her rights and interests. To institutionalize support and advocacy, consider establishing or promoting employee resource groups. These groups provide a structured way for employees to connect, share experiences, and support each other. They typically concentrate on specific communities, such as women or LGBTQ+ individuals, but should be inclusive of allies as well. These spaces are not only pivotal for those who directly benefit, but also for allies looking to deepen their understanding and actively participate in dismantling biases. Allyship, therefore, should be seen as a dynamic and ongoing commitment. It involves constant awareness and action, not just reacting to isolated incidents. By facilitating mentorship, coaching, and creating platforms like affinity groups and business resource groups, organizations can cultivate a culture where all employees, regardless of their background, have equitable opportunities to grow and succeed. This continuous effort in allyship not only aids in combating biases, but also significantly enhances the overall workplace atmosphere, making it a more inclusive, supportive, and equitable environment for everyone. Part 6: Integrating Bias Mitigation Across the Talent Lifecycle. Having explored the initial three steps of tackling unconscious bias, we now arrive at the crucial final stride: applying these principles consistently across the talent lifecycle. This concept encapsulates every phase of an employee's journey within a company, from hiring to professional development and eventual promotion. This step is about more than repetition. It's about embedding a bias-aware mindset into the very fabric of organizational operations. Let's break down how this can be effectively implemented at various stages of the talent lifecycle. Starting with recruitment, this phase sets the tone for diversity and inclusivity within the company. The channels through which job advertisements are placed can inadvertently narrow or diversify the pool of potential candidates. Moreover, the language used in job descriptions can also either attract a broad spectrum of applicants or unwittingly be skewed towards certain demographics by using culturally specific or gender-coded phrases like rock star or ninja. During the interview process, it's crucial to assemble a diverse panel of interviewers. This not only minimizes personal biases, but also showcases the organization's commitment to diversity to the candidates. Moving on to compensation, addressing wage disparities is essential. Regular pay audits can help assess and rectify any discrepancies that might exist due to gender, race, or any other unrelated factors. Providing all candidates, regardless of gender, the opportunity to negotiate their salaries is also key. Research indicates that women are often less likely than men to be prompted by recruiters to negotiate, which can lead to long-term earnings inequality. Once hired, the commitment to an unbiased work environment must continue through proactive inclusivity initiatives like employee resource groups. These groups are instrumental in nurturing a supportive environment where diverse perspectives are valued. They serve not just as a platform for mingling, but as a critical resource for fostering fairness and opportunities for all employees. Career development and promotion are other crucial phases where biases could influence decisions. Open communication about career opportunities, transparent criteria for advancements, and equitable access to professional development resources can help ensure that all employees have the tools and opportunities to grow. Succession planning should also be approached with a keen awareness of bias. Planning who will fill key roles should be based on merit and potential, rather than similarity to current leadership, ensuring a diversity of thought and background in leadership positions. In essence, the final step of integrating bias awareness and mitigation practices across the talent lifecycle is about making these actions habitual and integral to every aspect of organizational operations. By doing so, companies can not only enhance fairness and inclusion, but also benefit from a wide range of perspectives and skills, which are invaluable in today's diverse global market. Final summary. The journey through understanding and mitigating unconscious bias in the workplace is intricate but profoundly necessary. Recognizing that each person harbors a blend of visible and invisible biases is the cornerstone of this process. These biases influence not only how individuals interact with one another, but also how decisions and relationships are formed in professional settings. The initial and perhaps most revealing step is identifying these biases. This involves not only recognizing the biases you possess, but also understanding their origins. Whether shaped through personal experiences, societal influences, or cultural upbringing, each bias has its own backstory which, when understood, can be addressed more effectively. Moving forward, the next vital step is cultivating genuine connections. This means reaching beyond superficial interactions and forming relationships based on understanding and respect. In doing so, you break down the barriers erected by biases and see individuals for their unique contributions rather than through the lens of prejudgment. Courage plays a pivotal role as well. It requires bravery to confront and call out biases, whether they affect you directly or others around you. Courage in this context is about taking action, speaking up even when it's uncomfortable, and advocating for justice and fairness in all professional interactions and decisions. In summary, tackling unconscious bias is a continual journey of awareness, connection, and bravery. It's about making a consistent effort to question our assumptions, reach out to others, and speak up against injustices, creating a workplace where diversity is not just acknowledged, but truly valued and integrated. By embracing these steps, you foster an environment where everyone has the opportunity to thrive, based on merit and without the undue influence of implicit biases. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.